section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
With SummerSlam a hit, Dream Contest on TNA, and new champions are crowned. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Bully Ray is done with TNA. What are your thoughts on this, Aaron?
Yeah, he's been going around and telling other people there that, you know, he's wrapped up the rest of his dates and that he's done. The thing that I am really curious about, though, is that him and Devon have been inducted into TNA's Hall of Fame. And they do this at Bound for Glory. They do a little thing for it. So if he's actually done with them, is he just going to make a special appearance then? Is that what you think?
I think he'll make a special appearance, because if he's thinking that he's going to go back to the WWE, which he would be a great person to come through on Royal Rumble, of all things. He would be a great surprise entrant. But I believe that he'll get inducted to the TNA Hall of Fame. They'll cool it down a little bit because you need at least 3 months before he appears on WWE TV. But I believe that he's going back. I think he's going back
and
home.
Why does he need 3 months?
I think it's to cool. Just to cool his jets. So then people are like, oh, because you know that Lawler's going to say something like, oh, where's he been? One of those things. And that's what he's going to say.
No, they won't say something like that. Here's why they won't actually let him on TV till he's done with TNA. And the main reason why is because they, you know, with RVD, they had him come back, and RVD had some pay-per-views taped already for TNA. And so TNA was able to advertise RVD was going to be on that show, even though he's with the WWE. You
right,
know?
But
so they can't.
How many of those pay-per-views have they taped already?
They've taped a few, so they got to be careful, and they can't, you know, they can't have him come out, you know, there if he's going to also be at TNA. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing, just like if, you know, they're taped up, I think, now through September, the end of September. So they couldn't have Bully Ray come back now, and then he'd also be appearing on TNA. That'd just be weird, you know, and I think wrestling fans, they would understand it, but some might be like, oh, what's going on here? Is he now also with this other program, too? Doesn't make sense. Do you think he'll be back in WWE before the end of the year?
No, I think you're looking at Royal Rumble for him to make a surprise appearance just to see what the crowd thinks. But it also depends. I don't know where Royal Rumble's at this year, but that would be intriguing if he makes a surprise appearance. Now, Devon is under contract. I think they said until October. So they could both appear at Royal Rumble for a surprise entrance, which would be really cool. And of course,
yeah, if I'm correct, I don't even think they have Royal Rumble 2015. I don't know if they have a location yet for it. Do they?
I'm pretty sure they do.
I mean, they do, like, in mind, but I don't even know if they've picked one out yet, because they typically will wait until the end of the year before they start doing some of the other pay-per-views. But as far as Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber go, I think they probably may have announced it. But obviously, really it's just up until WrestleMania that we know.
Well, the possible locations that they're looking at right now is that they're looking at Philadelphia, which would be a perfect place to have Bully Ray come back, because those fans will go nuts, especially if they did some swerve where they had like a surprise tag team, which everyone will know who it is. It's Team 3D, because it's not going to be the Hardy Boys, because Jeff Hardy's
Dudley Boys.
I'm sorry. It would be the Dudley Boys. Do you think he could actually come back as Bully Ray? Or would he come back as
Bubba Ray Dudley?
It would come back as Bubba Ray Dudley. Wow.
I mean, that's where he made his name, you know, and they changed his name for, because they wanted to make sure that they wouldn't get sued. So they changed it. But yeah, I don't know. I think he deserves one more run in WWE, even if it's a short one, even if it's just to help put people over.
That is correct. But remember, he also said that he would never use that name again, but money talks.
Yeah,
and I think the fans would want to see the Dudley Boys. So the Monday Night Wars will appear today at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. Or wait, is it 8 p.m. or it's a 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
And no, it's
and also at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is really weird. They're airing it before SmackDown and also after SmackDown. Why would they do that? Don't you think they would have? And it's also not the one. It's one that we've already seen when they had the free time. Do you think that that's a smart move to do it on Friday nights opposed to like Tuesdays or?
You know, Thursdays? And I've said this before. Look, during that time, I'm going to be working or I'm going to be at a company retreat. And then as soon as that gets done, I'm going to be home. I'll probably, you know, maybe just crash. I'm going to watch this maybe sometime on Saturday. So it honestly does not matter to me when it airs. It can air Friday night at 10 o'clock. It could air Tuesday night at 10 a.m. I don't care. I'm going to watch it on my own schedule. And so I think that's just kind of the way the future is now. You know, if I was, I don't know, let's say I was 22 in college. I was doing nothing on a Friday night. Maybe I'd be like, oh, cool. I can't wait for this to come on. But honestly, that's not the type of, you know, I mean, I'm an adult now. So, you know, just like with NXT or anything else, I wait and then I watch it after the fact. You know, I am excited for it, though.
Now, speaking of the WWE Network, something really weird happened in Canada. They're actually they're exceeding the expectations there. And that's, I think it's more because they're offering the network on a cable system. Do you think that this may be what the WWE is going to have to do as well, where they offer a plan where you can get, like, for instance, okay, let's say you had to pay like $15 a month, but you got it on your cable, but you also got the web version as well. Do you think that this is a sign that this is what they're going to end up doing?
No, I don't at all. It sounds like you do, so I'm interested in hearing your thoughts. But for me, I like all my stuff to be on demand. I think that it just makes it so much easier. I watch much less TV when it's on demand because I know what I want to watch. I watch it and that's it. Plain and simple. I don't channel surf. I don't do any of that stuff. With the WWE Network, what they need to do for America and for the rest of the world is they need to make it easier to access. And what I mean by that is that my TV has a Netflix button, it has an Amazon Prime, it has Hulu Plus. My TV has all this stuff built into it. Guess what it used to have? It used to have a WWE app before the network came out, and then, of course, they took it down. They said it's going to be coming back shortly. So the WWE Network will be on my TV, which will make it a lot easier. And I know, it's first world problems. But right now, I have to load up my Xbox. I have to go to it. I then have to figure out what I want to watch. I have to manually, like, crappily type it in. It's not very fun. It's not an easy and intuitive system. They have to make it easier for people to access, and that will make it more desirable, not making it at its own TV channel.
So just out of curiosity, can you check on your TV? Because I think it's actually on there now.
Well, I'll take a look.
Go into, and here's my thoughts on the whole network. I believe that if they do go to, like, we'll say DirecTV or Comcast or MediaCom, I believe that that's going to help them out a lot, because there's some people, I've talked to some people recently that don't have the internet, which is shocking to me, but they're also WWE fans and they said they want to get it, but hey, they're not going to pay for it if they can only watch it on their phones or tablets, or actually just their phone, because that's the only way they can get signal. I believe that the network can work both ways. I believe that you can offer, hey, you say that the channel is on this channel for DirecTV or Dish Network or any cable system out there. I think that it'll be easier for people to say, okay, so it's $9.99 a month and for a 6-month commitment, or I got to pay $12.99 just to have it for 1 month. I think there will be a lot more impulse buys because people are like, oh, well, all right, I'll go ahead and pay the $12.99 just so I can see Royal Rumble. And then they have it for the rest of the month. If they go through and surf the on-demand stuff, I think that it's going to change people's minds a little bit, because Netflix worked, but Netflix was also first DVD first. The network, I just believe that they rolled out the network improperly. That's, I guess, my thoughts on it. But
they had to get it out because they wanted to make it special and they wanted to make it important. And I totally understand that. And WrestleMania was one of the best times for them to do it personally. And like I said before, should have done it for Elimination Chamber for a test run. That's what they should have done. Nonetheless, though, in my opinion, I totally understand what you're saying. I think that the amount of people, though, that are like that, it's few and far between. And I think that it's – while, yeah, it might be nice for someone like me, and you know, maybe I'm a special case scenario, but I think for someone like me, I don't want them to tell me what I want to watch. If anything else, they might provide suggestions. You know, they may say, oh, hey, we noticed, and this is something they really need to do. They really, really need to do. They need to be able to say, hey, we noticed that you watched Royal Rumble 2007 and then you watched SummerSlam 2007. Maybe you would like to watch this one 2007, or you might like this pay-per-view. Things like that might be nice if they were able to give me suggestions as opposed to say, here, we have this one thing that you can watch now anytime you want. No, I don't want that. I want them to give me suggestions. I also want to be able to pick up a program where I left off. I should be able to pull up on my phone on the bus ride to work. I should be able to start watching the top tens and then immediately pick up when I get home on my 360 or on my television or on my tablet. I should be able to do that. You can't do that yet. And that's something that really annoys me. You can't do lists. You know, you can't provide stuff for other people. I can't say for you or for Doug, I can't say, hey, you should check out X. I can't do that. And that's something that really, really annoys me.
All right. So is it on your TV?
Actually, yes, it is.
Aha. There we go. Samsung did put it out finally. So let's talk WWE program for this week. Dolph Ziggler won the title. Can you believe that?
Yeah, you, Doug, and I got this one wrong. I got to ask you, what were your thoughts? Not on my, like, storyline wise. I mean, do you think that it's smart for them to give it to Ziggler after Miz has only had it for really about a month?
Well, you can look at it from a couple different standpoints. You can say that it's Miz's hometown, and usually that's when you drop the title. But Dolph won it, and he won it clean. No matter how you look at it, he won it clean. So I think it actually hurts the Miz. But this could be something where Dolph then drops it back to the Miz, and they could go on to basically one of those feuds where they do a showcase on the WWE Network like they did on Wednesday for the Shield. You could do something like that. But I believe that those two guys can work pretty good together, even though I think Miz's matches have been pretty much the same, just like Randy Orton's. They're pretty much the same match. There's nothing new. Same moves, nothing different. So, but yeah, I'm just happy that he does have the title. And the one thing that really bothered me was Rusev beat Jack Swagger, but at one point Swagger dropped the flag, and WWE's got a lot of criticism over that spot, which is not surprising, but I wonder if it actually hurts the match. I mean, what do you think?
So we had talked about last week's show, you, Doug, and I were going over SummerSlam and the matches, and we said this is Swagger's, he has to win it. And we also had talked about it's a flag match, so it's not that big of a deal. You just go, you grab the flag, and that's it. This wasn't a flag match. This was a normal match that happened to have flags on there that you got to wave after the match. In other words, it was a normal match. I did not understand. They had no rules with this. I mean, they kind of made it up on the fly. It was really stupid and kind of annoyed the hell out of me. But here is a great example of the audience almost being perplexed by who the heel and who the face was. At the beginning of the match, if I were to tell you that wrestler A attacks wrestler B, but wrestler B gets the upper hand and is able to injure wrestler A a little bit. If I told you that, you would say, okay, so wrestler B injured wrestler A. Wrestler B is probably the heel. No, that's not the case. Wrestler B was actually Swagger. So the face attacked the heel, injured him, and still lost. That makes zero sense. And storyline wise, I think this really hurts Rusev. I think it hurts Swagger more than anything. I'm sorry. Because Swagger had an opportunity here to be elevated and people would have been chanting USA. It would have given it would have been really great. A really great match, really great feeling, really elevated Swagger. And they missed the boat.
A really great moment for SummerSlam. That would have been the best thing. But I mean, and then they have Mark Henry come out and basically beat up Rusev. Okay, that's on Raw. That's fine, all right? I like Mark Henry. I think he's a good wrestler. Actually, a note about Mark Henry. Evan Bourne said something really interesting about him. He said that he's one of the nicest people in the world. He said he's not a jerk. He's not like, hey, I'm Mark Henry. I guess there's been times where on a plane where he's stuck and he has to sit next to someone who's kind of like small and he's taking up the seat, he'll sit there and he'll talk to him and he'll actually buy stuff for them because he feels bad that he's taking up so much room. So I got to give him credit. A lot of times they'll try and get an open seat or put a small kid next to him, which is really cool. And he's super nice about it.
So, but Mark Henry, though, I want to ask you this. So we see Rusev and Swagger. They have a good match. And I got to give Rusev credit. He sold that ankle lock like it was nobody's business. And like, I love it when you see that because it just – it really makes you feel that, oh man, like it's real, you know, even though obviously we know it's not. But it just, it's really awesome.
It's especially when he was like touching the rope because he was that close. Great mm-hmm. sell. That made me think. And the thing is, I wish Swagger would have did the angle thing where he drops down on his butt and lays down.
The grapevine.
Yeah. I wish he would have done that. And then Rusev grabbed the rope. Then I think that would have been completely different. But... you know, I just wish that Swagger would have won this. It would have been a great moment. It's really sad.
Let me ask you about, so Mark Henry comes out and basically squashes Rusev. I mean, what's that say? Are we going to just basically feed him to Henry? I mean, we could have done this with Swagger. What do you think is going to happen now with this?
Here's what I believe will happen. I think Henry will face him twice in the next two pay-per-views. And then I think Big Show will get him. And then I think Big Show will be the one that actually beats him because I think it's going to take two punches from Big Show because usually, you know, Big Show will knock a guy out right away. I believe that it'll take two punches to take Rusev out. And then it'll be a big moment. USA at TLC, which I think is actually they'll probably do that at Survivor Series. But I think it's a miss. I still think it's a miss, but great. I'm glad that Mark Henry's back and he's actually facing him. It actually gets me intrigued because they have four more weeks to build up this match. So I'm really looking forward to it. Now, here's the one thing that I'm sad about now is that Ambrose and Rollins have been feuding for a while now. We finally got the match and then now Ambrose is leaving to go do the WWE Studios film A Lockdown.
TNA's Lockdown, right?
No. The movie's actually called Lockdown, which I find hilarious. But I find it weird that Ambrose is leaving. But I will say Ambrose makes me laugh. Like, especially on Raw when he did the Ice Bucket Challenge. When he did that, he goes, what?
It's for charity.
I couldn't stop laughing. In fact, I had to rewind that a couple of times because the look on his face, he's like, what? It's for charity. And then he throws it in the bucket in his face. That was one of the funniest things I've seen in a while that WWE done. And I think it's more because of Dean Ambrose. Now, their match was the big thing is that he got curb stomped onto cement bricks, which just so happened to be out there. So they sold that. And then they said that he ran off on his own. He didn't want any medical attention. He ran off so he can prepare for this role that he's doing.
I got to say, I think that WWE has been doing a fantastic job with Ambrose. While I probably would have had him win on Sunday, I would have had him win at the pay-per-view. It didn't hurt him, though. It's not like with Swagger and Rusev. Swagger needed that win, and you really hurt Swagger. With this, I think that Ambrose just does such a fantastic job inside the ring and outside the ring, doing the interviews, you know, saying the funny lines, you know, and lines that aren't meant to be funny, but just, you know, they're just happen to be that way. I think that Ambrose is just, he is the ultimate package for you. And you have a chance here to really elevate this guy up into the main event status. And it's not like you have to do what you've been doing with Rusev. You don't have to give him an undefeated streak. You don't have to sit there and force him down our throats. Just put him in an interesting storylines. Rollins and Ambrose have the most interesting storyline, I would say, since Bryan and Triple H, you know, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about Ambrose, I can't tell you how many times I laugh at the segment where he opened up the briefcase, threw the contract out, and then put pop and popcorn and also JBL's hat in there. I can't tell you how many times I just watching that segment just makes me laugh. And the thing is, if he was a heel, people would be booing him the entire time. But because he's a face, they were cheering. He isn't. Mm-hmm. He's still a heel. I mean, if you look at it from one standpoint, he's a heel. But
if the crowd loves him. Like that, but. Yeah, I mean, it's let the crowd decide. You know, I mean, that's what I've always said. Let the crowd choose.
Now, my only problem is, what do you do with Rollins now? Because that feud's basically put on hold for at least 6 weeks. Where do you go? Mm-hmm. Where do you go from here?
I think that what you do is you have it on hold. You have Rollins do a mini feud, you know, with somebody else. And then at the end of that, like, you know what? What's Sheamus doing? Sheamus and Rollins.
I mean, you could do that, but I think Sheamus is going to be fighting Cesaro for the U.S. title at the next pay-per-view. So who Maybe. Is – but the thing is, I don't know who you put in that spot, because you can't put, like, Kofi, because that wouldn't look mm-hmm. right. You would have to have someone who's upper mid right now. And the only person I can think of is Rollins, but then – yeah, I'm sorry, Reigns. But you don't want to have – you don't want to take away from that feud, because that feud should last 3 months if you have Reigns yeah. fight him. And then so Ambrose comes back. At what point can Rollins cash in?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I think that you have somebody like a Sheamus. I'm not saying it has to be Sheamus, but somebody like him, you know, feud with Rollins for the next month or so. And then, you know, Rollins, basically you have Ambrose come back. He attacks Rollins. They have their final match at the whatever the pay-per-view is, Survivor Series, let's say, or Hell in a Cell. And that's where you have Ambrose finally get his win, you know, his big win. It helps them both out. It doesn't hurt, you know, anybody. And Ambrose will probably come back to a huge pop. I mean, it'll probably be a really, really big pop. So either way, though, like I said, this is, in my opinion, the biggest, you know, feud for me right now. But Andy, let's talk about the biggest news of the week. Brock Lesnar won the WWE title. What do you think?
Here's the thing. I mean, I'm glad that he won it, and he went out. The guy, TMZ, got him holding both titles, and he said that, I don't want to carry two titles around. We're going to make this into one. Of course, that was everyone knew they were going to do that. But, you know, okay, Lesnar wins it. That's great. But how is he going to lose it is my only problem. And plus, he's only going to do a handful of dates, so your champion's not going to be around. That's my problem right now with this whole situation. Because you know they're going to do Cena versus Lesnar, but then Lesnar, he's not going to stick around after that. So do mm-hmm. you have Cena actually beat him? Do you have a no-holds-barred match? Do you have a street fight match with him? A UFC-style match? I don't know what they're going to do. That's the one thing it's up in the air. I'm like, okay, well, where do they go from here with this situation?
Well, let me ask you. I'll explain where they go. But first, I want to ask you about the match. What did you think of it?
The match was boring. A bunch of 16 German suplexes. You know, I've seen a match like this before, and I just don't remember where. But it was so, like, that match was lazy. Because if you look at Brock, he's breaking a sweat. And Cena, nothing. It's like, oh, not a big deal. I just take a bunch of back bumps. That's pretty much all it was. I thought it was a horrible match, no matter how you look at it. You know, Brock doing all those German suplexes, two F5s. And the other thing also, he did the F5 right away, and Cena kicked out. To me, that makes the F5 look weak.
I disagree. I think that was okay. And the main reason why is this. He did it immediately. He didn't weaken his opponent and then do it. He just did it immediately. And so I'm okay with that, because Cena is able to kick out because, oh, hey, he just – if Cena would have given him an attitude adjustment, he should have been able to kick out right away. You shouldn't just immediately die because somebody did their finisher to you. It should be you get weakened by it. You know, that was one of the things about Bret Hart. He would constantly attack your back. He would attack your legs. You know, he's very methodical. So when you locked in the sharpshooter, you immediately tapped out. You know, that's what they were trying to convey, the message they were trying to do. Jericho did it. Malenko did it. You know, those – the best, the greats did it. So I'm okay with that. Let me explain to you where they go from here, Andy, and why, you know, Lesnar holding the title is actually a good thing. Lesnar brings a prestige to that title we have not seen since Hulk Hogan has held the title. And the reason I say that, I remember I was listening to Colt Cabana's podcast, and he was talking about how when Warrior held the IC title, Hogan had the world title, and Warrior was the champion of the people. And what he meant by that was you only saw Hogan once a month. Hogan only appeared on the biggest, most special shows because he was an attraction, and that made Hogan even more desirable. Warrior, on the other hand, he was the IC champion, so he wrestled at every show. He was always there. That's who you always saw. IC champion, Ultimate Warrior. That was it. You always saw him. This is an opportunity now to elevate the US title and the IC title. And the world champion now, Brock Lesnar, will only be at very special events. And so they can advertise. You want to see the champion? You got to get the pay-per-view. You want to see, you know, him, you know, at the next Raw? Well, then that's where he'll be. So I think it actually makes it a little more prestigious.
Yeah, but how do you get the title off him? Because you know at Nia Champions, he's done for a while. So how do you get the title off him? I mean, the only scenario I could think of is that Undertaker's music hits and he comes out to the top of the ramp and he's like, what? And then, you know, attitude adjustment. That's the only thing I could think of.
Attitude adjustment?
Well, that's the only thing. Cena comes by, gives him an attitude adjustment, 1-2. But then he almost has to do the attitude adjustment like through a table or something like that. So then he's like, the only reason he beat me is because he put me through a table.
So I don't think Cena's going to get the win back. I don't think that's what it's going to be. I think you mentioned Undertaker. I've been thinking about this. They've really been talking about him a lot. And I don't know if he's going to be able to come back. But I'm kind of suspecting that maybe at like Hell in a Cell, we might see Undertaker Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but have you seen the recent picture of Undertaker? He doesn't look good.
No.
He looks like he's been beat up and he needs to rest.
And that might be the case. I'm saying that that's an option there. Otherwise, guess what? He's going to hold the title until WrestleMania, and that's where he'll probably lose it to Roman Reigns.
I don't know about that.
You want to make a huge, huge star? Have him take it off of Lesnar. That's the only way you're going to be able to do that.
But Lesnar won't appear at all the pay-per-views, though, because he only has so many dates. So I think your champion is basically not worthless, but he's weak.
Well, no, it's if anything else, I think it makes him stronger. Less is more in this case. How many times have we seen Cena constantly at every freaking pay-per-view? And a lot of times it's rematches. It's Cena versus the same guy he wrestled a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. How many times do we have to see Cena versus Orton? You know, really. And I think this actually makes it more special because we're going to see Lesnar take on Cena one more time. And then, you know what? Maybe at Hell in a Cell, he might take on Taker. Maybe he takes on somebody else. Maybe he takes on another up-and-comer. So, anyway. I don't
know. Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top. Save big on items from WWEShop.com and make sure you pick up the new championship belt as well. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. So Bram and Abyss are continuing their crazy feud. So Bram, he was NXT reject because he had some issues with the law. What are your thoughts on Bram now?
I actually kind of like Bram. I think that, you know, he came in as a friend of Magnus and they've done a pretty good job with him. I think that realistically, TNA watches NXT and they're like, oh man, you know, this guy's really good. This guy's really good. And the moment that they get let go, they're like, oh, that's fine. We'll pick him up, you know, and that's kind of what they've been doing. EC3 has been a massive success. In fact, it's been one of their biggest successes, in my opinion. And then we have Bram, who has been doing a pretty good job as well. He's been keeping his own against Abyss and he's been doing a really great job of hardcore. He's, you know, he's been going into thumbtacks a lot. And in this match in particular, you know, it was a Stairway to Janus match, which was actually pretty good. I think that they've been doing a pretty good job. It's just, it's going to be sad when, you know, they might go out of business in October.
We'll see about that. But are you kind of happy about the move to Wednesday nights?
Yes, I am. And the biggest reason why I'm excited about the move to Wednesday nights is it kind of makes... I don't know. I think that for me, I like having a good wrestling show on all the time. And so we have WWE is always available pretty much. And so for TNA, I kind of like having it, you know, right in the middle of the week.
I just realized something. This has to do with WWE. With Impact moving to Wednesday nights and SmackDown pretty much going to be moving to Thursday nights. Do you think that instead of running SmackDown, the regular SmackDown show, they could do the NXT TakeOver 2? Would you be surprised if that's actually on Sci-Fi opposed to the W Network at the same time?
I mean, they could. They could do a lot of different stuff.
Because like it's on Thursday night, you could say, well, this is the free pay-per-view we're going to offer on Sci-Fi. But anyways, okay, Bram, okay, he got rejected, but he had some issues. So he was with Ascension. That's fine and dandy. Bram is, I don't know, he's more of a hardcore wrestler. You brought up EC3, though, and I want to touch something on that. Derek Bateman was good at NXT, but stunk when he went to WWE. I think it's because of the crowd size. He can get a small crowd going, but I think a large crowd he has issues with. And there's a lot of people that way. But, you know, anyways, so we get to finally see a dream match. We get to see the Wolves versus 3D versus the Hardy Boys. What are your thoughts on it?
I like what they've been doing. They had the Hardy Boys take on the Wolves, and then they had the Hardy Boys take on Team 3D. And now they're basically going to be doing a triple threat. I'm pretty excited for this. I think that it's actually going to be really great for these three teams. We're going to have an opportunity here to see, you know, the Wolves and see what they can do with, you could say, the big boys or with a very, very veteran teams, you know, who have been tagging now for 20 years. I think it's actually going to be really great. And it's going to probably help put the Wolves on the map, I think.
I think it will help the Wolves out. It just stinks that was it Davey broke his leg?
Yeah, but they've been saying that they may not have to take the title off of him because they've taped so far in advance that he might be good to go. So
yeah, he should be able to go when they tape, because I think they tape at the end of September, the next set. But yeah, you know, you're talking 6 to 8 weeks. Four to 6 weeks. That's going to be 6 weeks at that time. So I'm pretty sure he'll be fine and he'll be back, which is kind of weird, but he also broke it really weird. Simple move, breaks his leg. But anyways, I'm really excited about this, you know, a triple threat match with at least two of them Hall of Fame teams in both TNA and also eventually WWE. This is a big deal. So I believe it. Yes, it does put the Wolves on the map now. Okay. Bobby Roode, Gunner, EY, you know, James, Magnus, and Austin Aries battle in a cage for the number one contendership. What are your thoughts on this entire segment?
So I like the fact that they have a lot of different people who can claim contendership for the title. And I think that does say something because, you know, a lot of them former champions or, you know, up and coming, you know, with Gunner. But they have claim, and I think that's kind of a big deal, because when you look over on WWE, if I, like, you know, we ask the question, who can challenge for the title? So immediately we can say John Cena. We could say, well, Randy Orton could challenge for the title. Roman Reigns is definitely, you know, in that, you know, kind of breath. But after that, there's a really big drop off, because then it goes to Ambrose and Rollins. And it's like, look, I like those guys and I think they're future champions. But do you see Ambrose as being the top guy right now? No, you don't. Any of these people, though, I mean, with the exception of probably EY and Gunner, I mean, well, actually, really, even just EY, you know, all of them could be champions and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. So I like that they have a large main event scene. That's actually really important to me. Now, let's get on to the more important thing, which is that EY and Robert Roode both escaped the cage at the same time. So they're probably going to have some sort of triple threat, or maybe they're going to battle each other to choose who the number one contender is. It's all really looking like it's leading to Robert Roode to take on Lashley at Bound for Glory. What are your thoughts?
You got to have Bobby go over. You got to have Bobby beat him. And I think that would actually help out. I think that would be a big deal. Especially if Roode goes to Bound for Glory, beats Lashley in Japan, that's a big deal. I mean, that is a huge deal. I'm actually kind of excited about that. They are teasing this feud. You know, we'll see what happens with EY and Bobby Roode escaping at the exact same time. You know, it's another wait and see. There's no other way to put it.
But so EY, what would you do with him? I mean, where do you have him at 14?
TNA, he's not the face of TNA, but I would say he's in the top five. Because people...
You think EY is?
I think so now, because he was a champion. I think that helps him out a lot. I mean, yeah, you can say, you know, you have Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray and D-Von, you know, Bobby Roode, EC3. You have those guys. But I believe that with Eric, with EY actually doing, you know, a TV show as well, and he was the champion at one point, and people love him. I mean, when he comes out, whatever TNA has told him to do, he does. And he does not think twice about it. He just does it. I think that the fans see that. And the hardcore fans
do. I don't
think
he's even in the top 10 for
TNA. Oh, come on. Yes, he is.
I can name at least five people who are much higher than him.
I did. I threw out five people. Yeah. I don't even throw Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's not even in the top 10. I don't even count him.
Oh, are you the champion is in the top 10?
No, I don't think he counts.
I think they've been using him in the same way they've been using Brock Lesnar, in my opinion. And I think that they've been doing a pretty good job. Lashley, in my opinion, is a credible champion. In fact, if you want to talk about it, if you want to talk about TNA versus WWE right now, if they, you know, that won't happen, but Lashley versus Brock Lesnar would be kind of a pretty big deal.
Well, if you remember when Brock left, Lashley took over a spot. In fact, he also took over his entrance because they would jump from the floor onto the apron and then the fireworks would come out, which, by the way, they did at the pay-per-view for the first time since he's been back. Now, yeah, so they did that. So that would actually be interesting if they did that. Now, what would be cool is if TNA did shut down and WWE buys it, and then they actually bring they have champion versus champion, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, they won't do that, of course, because, you know, TNA isn't WCW, so it would be kind of hard to do because then you'd have to explain to people what TNA is. And so that's not going to happen. Yeah,
this worst thing was, and Bully Ray.
Yeah, pretty much. Really, like, this is where people go to retire.
Oh, wow. Wow. But at least give TNA credit. At least they're trying to build superstars opposed to just getting someone.
Yeah.
You know, and
they've been doing a pretty good job. And, you know, TNA has gotten a lot of flack. Honestly, I think taping shows has really helped them out. I think the product has been much better. I think that they just maybe they don't do nearly as good live as they do taped. And I mean, when I say taped, I mean like in advance, like really far in advance taped.
Yeah, like they have. Now, I want to bring up one more thing. Matt Taven from Ring of Honor is not re-signing. Do you think he's going to appear at TNA?
I could potentially see that. I think it's Matt Taven, right?
Taven, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah,
he was the longest TV champion there. He has an okay look. He's okay on the mic. You know, he definitely has the type of – he has a TNA body for sure. So he could do – he could probably work pretty well in their X division, I think. You know, if they actually built it out to be really important.
Well, you could have him versus Samoa Joe or have Samoa Joe low-key with, you know, do a triple threat. That's what I was wondering because he made a big deal about that he's not re-signing with TNA at this time is what he said.
Ring of Honor.
I'm sorry, with Ring of Honor at this time, which I find really weird that he said at this time. I think he's going to try and make a play to make it actually into Ring of Honor. Or maybe he's actually going to sign. I don't think he'll sign with WWE because I don't think he's a WWE guy. He's a jobber for WWE. But
yeah, he would be a jobber there. But he's young. And so they might like him because of that. They might say, oh, hey, you know what? You're in your early 20s. We might go for you then.
Yeah, but his moveset, I don't think, is as polished as Kevin Steen's. Because I think Kevin Steen is very, like, crisp in the ring. But I think Taven isn't. Taven, I'm sorry. But
well, Steen is good on the mic, though. And, I mean, that's great. The biggest thing. And Steen would have an opportunity to really shine if you just give him the stick. You know, I mean, that's the thing that really helped out CM Punk. You just gave him the stick. He did not CM Punk was not a main eventer until he gave his promo. He was upper mid card, and the moment he gave that promo, he was over, and that's all he had to do. And I think Steen, you give him that, and you know Ambrose has been doing a good job, but you know that's helped him get over. You have to give people the stick.
Do you think that at TakeOver 2 NXT that's going to be on 9/11? Do you think that they're going to have Steen come out and do something on the mic?
I think that you should.
I think you have to have him come out, bring Kenta out, bring Fergal out, have those guys appear because you made a big deal about signing them. And also remember, they are, the Canada thing is big, and Steen is a big Canada guy. You know, fight Steen, fight.
I disagree. I don't think you bring out all three. I think that you only bring out one person to really showcase them, give them the spotlight. And then, you know, at the next one, you show the next guy, or, you know, you have it be a bigger deal, in my opinion.
So you think that Fergal, you wait on Fergal, you might be able to bring Kenta out, but you got to bring Steen out because of the Canada market.
I should disagree. I don't think Kenta should even be on NXT. I think that he should learn there, but he is a trained professional, and he's somebody that you need to be on your main roster for when you go over to Japan. And so I don't think you have him on NXT. I think other than to learn, that'd be about it.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.